In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who comes to make us a part of His kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I told you that the question for this morning was, are you next? And after all of the things that we've experienced just within the past 15 minutes or so, I think I might rephrase that to, what's going to happen next? We're going to march on through. We're going to do this. It's going to be good. Microphones going crazy. Tree falling in the parking lot over there. And all sorts of other fun stuff. But we're going to keep trucking through. And that's pretty much what was happening with the disciples at this point. What the disciples are doing here in Acts 1 is they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we keep this thing moving? And one of the things that they immediately identify is that they have to come up with a replacement for Judas. Now, they tell you in pretty graphic details what happened with Judas. What happened with Judas basically is that Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the traditional price for a slave. And so when Judas sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, he's basically saying that Jesus' life is worth about that much as a slave. And then Judas, when they actually arrest Jesus and they put him to death, Judas then gets this guilty conscience. And when Judas gets this guilty conscience, he decides that it's just too much for him, and he goes out into this field and he hangs himself. And this is the part of, well, one of the parts of Scripture that I just kind of get a evil sort of grin when I hear it, just because there are some parts of Scripture that are pretty graphic and gory, and this is one of them. The other one is JL, when she takes a tent stake and sticks it through somebody's head, which I want to see the movie on that one. And then also, this one also doesn't make it into movies. When Judas hangs himself, he hangs himself, and apparently there's such force that his bowels spill out of him. Yeah, imagine that movie scene. And so, Judas is this character who is absolutely just villainized throughout all of Scripture. In fact, John's Gospel does the best job of it, because in John's Gospel, what he does is every time that Judas comes up, pretty much every time that he comes up, John is like, he's the one who betrayed Jesus. So even early on in Judas's career, when he's not doing anything evil, John tells you right away, this is the one who betrayed him. So this Judas guy, this is a guy that you probably don't want to be. Well, you know, when you're kind of going through Scripture and you're figuring out, well, who in Scripture would I like to be? Would I like to be like Moses? Would I like to be like Abraham? Would I like to be like Paul? And certainly all of those people have something to them that you're like, well, I would like to be like David, but maybe without the Bathsheba part. Or I'd like to be like Paul, but maybe without killing tons of Christians beforehand. Or I'd like to be like Stephen and not killed myself at the end of this. There's always something that we don't want to be. But when you think about filling the shoes of Judas, oh, that's probably not something that we would be like, oh yeah, sign me up. But the apostles, they get two guys. They get two guys to say, we're in the final category. I don't know if there's like a Sweet 16 bracket, and these were the two that were left. But what we know from Scripture is that there's these two people that are left. You have Joseph, who is also known as Barsabbas, who is also known as Justice, and then you have Matthias. And they don't choose the guy with two AKAs behind his name. You know, we get kind of worried about that too. Well, what's your name? Jay. Well, my name also used to be Steve. Well, my name also used to be... Other people call me that? No. But they draw lots, and the lot goes to Matthias. And we don't know really anything about Matthias except for the fact that he has been with the disciples for the entire time, basically since people started following Jesus. So right around the time that John was preaching by the River Jordan, right around the time that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and inviting disciples to come and be with him, that's when Matthias joined the group. And so, by that logic, we can probably figure out that Matthias was probably one of the 72. He was probably one of the people that Jesus had sent out into the towns around Judea and told them, don't take anything unnecessary with you, but go out there and preach that the kingdom of God is coming. And if they don't receive you, then shake the dust off of your feet and move along. And so that's basically all we know about Matthias's background, is that he followed along with the rest of the disciples, this larger group than just the 12, and that now he's being invited from that larger group into a smaller group, into this smaller group of the 12, these people that were kind of the inner circle for Jesus. Now, there's one more circle after that. There's the circle of the three, who are Peter, Andrew, and John. And those three have an even tighter relationship with you. Those are the guys that get to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Those are the people that are along with Jesus for some other things. But this group of the 12, this is a pretty important group. And this is a group that once you gain access into it, there's something life-changing about that. And Matthias is being invited into this group, of the 12. And the 12, any of the disciples probably were looking around and saying, well, there's 12 of us. That probably reminds us of something. There's 12 tribes of Israel. So if there's 12 tribes of Israel and we're sort of the new Israel, then we're going to have 12 disciples, 12 apostles that are going to be kind of at the head of this whole thing. And so they decide that somebody needs to take Judas's spot. And Peter makes that announcement. He says it's scriptural, it's in the Psalms, check it out, we need to choose somebody, and the lot falls to Matthias. And the choice of Matthias, if for no other reason, is interesting because of what his name is. He's filling Judas's spot. Now, probably behind that name, Judas, you hear Jew, which would have been the ethnicity of all of the disciples. There were none of these disciples were people that you would have considered to be a Gentile. There were no Greeks in there. There were no Phoenicians in there. These were all people that were basically from around Galilee, and they weren't necessarily people that were un-Jewish. And so you have Judas, who is this kind of figurehead of what Judaism is, just within his name. And then within his story, even. That's why the 30 pieces of silver is really kind of important for the whole story of who Judas is, because what is being referenced to there is in Zechariah, when Zechariah says that you sold me out for 30 pieces of silver. That's Zechariah is claiming that the people of Israel sold God out for the price of a slave. And that's exactly what is happening when Judas sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He's selling Jesus out for the price of a slave. And then the person who takes his spot is a guy named Matthias. And Matthias sounds a whole lot like the Greek word for disciple. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes. And that word, mathetes, meaning disciple, is kind of a sense that this is being opened up. This is this whole following Jesus thing. This is being opened up not just to the people of Israel, not just to people who are ethnically Hebrew, not just to people that have lived in Galilee their whole lives, but to mathetases. If you're really into Greek, that would be mathetoi. It would be. And so all of us are in. All of us are Matthiases that are being brought into that group of the 12. All of us are Matthiases who are being brought into the kingdom of God and being told that we now have a place at the table. We now have a place at this table where Christ offers us His body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We all have a place at the table in this building where we gather together and we hear His word. We all have a place. But sometimes we kind of don't want a place. Sometimes we're just totally fine being a part of the 72, aren't we? We're just like, that's okay, I can go out, I can do a couple of things in the area, that is great, but don't include me into anything that is a more exclusive group. Don't put me in as a leader, don't put me in as somebody who really believes this strongly, don't make me a mathetes. I'm just okay being me. And you can imagine that was probably where Matthias was at. I mean, being a mathetes is difficult. Being a mathetes is something that we probably don't want to do unless we absolutely have to. Being a mathetes, one of the ways that you find out that you're a mathetes is how other people treat you a lot of the time. And so, if this happened for me when I started going to the seminary, and all of a sudden, I hadn't even taken my first seminary class yet, but I knew that I was in seminary. And the, pardon me, the reason that I knew that I was in seminary is that all of a sudden, at any sort of family gathering or any other sort of gathering, when it was time to pray, everybody looked at me. Hey, we have to pray before the meal. Jay? What? And maybe that's the way that it is for you. Maybe in your group of friends at work or your group of friends from school that all of a sudden they know that you're a Christian and they begin to look at you for certain things. And so they go, we need somebody to pray. Can you do it? And sometimes you're like, no, my pastor does that. I looked at him. He went to seminary. Or at times, maybe they'll look to you for guidance and say, look, you do this Christian thing. I'm not sure what that's all about, but it seems like you have something that I don't, and I'm hurting right now. So can you help me out? And while that may sound nice, like it may be flattering that they're coming to you, probably everything inside of you is just scared to death. Because you're like, I don't know what to say. And that must have been where Matthias was at. When Matthias was invited into being one of the disciples, being one of the mathetes. This scary position where all of a sudden everything has changed. And that's really the message of Easter, is that everything has changed. There is a man who was dead in a tomb and he got up out of it. Everything has changed. He got up out of it and then he started appearing to people by walking through walls. Everything has changed. And then he goes around and he starts talking to people and he starts telling them that they are a part of his kingdom. And then he flies up into the sky in ascension and he says, "Lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age." Even though I'm going up there, everything has changed. Your relationship to the Father has changed because Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again to show you that everything has changed. Everything has changed because all of a sudden you're invited into this whole new realm of existence as a mathetes, as one of His disciples. No longer just somebody who is going through ritualistic acts and making sacrifices, but somebody who is a disciple, somebody whose life is being shaped and formed by the gospel and the law. A mathetes, whose life is being shaped by that law and gospel so that you can go out into a world and that you can be that person that when they look at you to pray or when they look at you and say, "What is going on in my life? How do you live this way?" You can say, "I have no idea." But I just hold on to this cross. I hold on to this empty tomb. I hold on to what makes me a disciple. And it's not that I'm so great. It's not that I'm better than Joseph, Barsabbas, Judas. Joseph, Barsabbas, Justice. It's that God loves me. I don't know why. Because He's just that full of love. That He loved me enough not to just let me be a part of the 72. But invited me to be a part of His 12. Of His disciples. And He's shaping me and forming me, and He might shape you and form you. And I'll go along with you. And I've heard a few prayers, and I'll try to pray with you. And I've read some things in the Bible, and I'll try to explain those things to you and how they apply to my life, and maybe they'll apply to your life. Because we're all a Matthias. We're all living in a world that has changed for us for the better. Because there is this time of shaping and discipling. And then there will come a time where we're invited to His table once again. A table in the resurrection that is filled with not shaping and forming anymore, but rejoicing and celebrating in the fact that He loved us so much. Amen.